Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. Radio Westerns coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear John Daner as the Frontier Gentleman from 1950. But right now, it's the Hallmark Playhouse. Hosted by author James Hilton, we hear the story of Wyatt Earp, Frontier Marshal, with Richard Conte. Based on an original story told by Earp, the CBS broadcast first heard on March 24, 1949.
Tonight from Hollywood, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you Richard Conte in Stuart Lake's story of Wyatt Earp, Frontier Marshal, on the Hallmark Playhouse. Each week, Hallmark will bring you Hollywood's greatest stars in outstanding stories chosen by one of the world's best-known authors, the distinguished novelist, Mr. James Hilton.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is James Hilton. Tonight on our Hallmark Playhouse, we dramatize a fine piece of work by an American newspaper man, Mr. Stuart Lake. A good many years ago, Mr. Lake became interested in the life of Wyatt Earp, a famous frontier pioneer whose name is imperishably associated with Tombstone, Arizona. Not only had some of Mr. Lake's ancestors pioneered in the West and known of Earp's great achievements in the service of law and order, but at a later date, Mr. Lake chanced to come into personal contact with Wyatt Earp when the latter was an old man living in Los Angeles. The result of this was a book called Wyatt Earp, Frontier Marshal, a biography of the great frontiersman, which is indeed an action story with a moral. And it is this which we are happy to present tonight. We are also privileged to have with us in the starring role Richard Conte. But now, Frank Goss, haven't you a word about Hallmark?
There are Hallmark cards for every memorable occasion on your calendar. Now, Hallmark Playhouse, presenting Stuart Lake's Wyatt Earp, Frontier Marshal, and starring Richard Conte.
In the year 1880, the western frontiers of the United States were being overrun by rustlers, gamblers, and murderers, and the value of a life became less than the bullet that killed. Into these territories came a man who had the courage to keep the peace. With his two guns blazing, cities like Wichita, Dodge City, and Ellsworth soon returned to law and order. And now, with frontier recognition as the greatest gunfighting marshal in the West, he came to one of the toughest spots on earth, the land of the bad men. Tombstone, Arizona. This man was United States Marshal Wyatt Earp.
Now look here, Earp, we don't need you here in Tombstone. Matter of fact, we don't want you here.
We, Sheriff Bean? Who's we?
The people who run Tombstone.
You mean the riffraff? People like old man Clanton and his son Ike and the rest of his horse thieves and outlaws? You know, they're honest folks here who don't like the way the town is run.
No one's complaining to me, and I don't see that it's any of your care.
People who organize and call themselves the Citizen Safety Committee don't agree with you. They invited me here to Tombstone to do a little cleaning up. And I kind of figure I'll oblige them.
Well, give me a list of that committee. I want to meet with them.
That's exactly what they're afraid of. They don't trust you, Sheriff. That's why they called on me.
Earp, I'm sheriff of this town, duly elected by the people. I'll run this town the way I see fit. And you or any committee won't tell me how.
You neglected to mention that the ballot boxes were stuffed by old man Clanton and his boys. And they counted the votes. I aim to see that honest people lose their fear of a gun, have the freedom of expression, and live their lives the way they want to live them. And you're not going to stop me, Sheriff.
For a guy who's friends with a cold-blooded killer like Doc Holliday, you sure are a preaching man.
Doc Holliday's no angel, but I never knew him to shoot a man in the back.
Earp, I heard a rumor in town that old man Clanton and his boys plan on getting you on sight. As sheriff of Cochise County, it's my duty to protect you. I'm escorting you, Doc Holliday, and your brother Morgan safely out of town. If I were you, I'd start packing fast.
I don't want to keep old man Clanton waiting. It would be downright rude. Where can I find him?
Help me, Sheriff. Oh, it's old man Clanton and his boys.
Guess you had it coming or they wouldn't be after you.
You gotta stop him. You gotta help me. I'm entitled to the protection of the law.
Get out, Johnny. You got no business in here.
I think maybe he has. I don't care what he did. I arrested you once in Wichita, didn't I, Johnny?
Yeah.
He got a fair trial, Sheriff, and right now I say he's going to get another one. Before a judge. I'm going out.
Better not, Herb. Old man Clanton's out there.
Boys, boys, don't make any fool play here. That little tin horn isn't worth it.
That's Herb. That's Wyatt, Herb. Get him.
Come on, Sheriff.
Guess you sure can, but I'll take 8 or 10 of you along. There's 18 bucks shot in my gun, and the wads are slit. One step, and I'll begin with old man Clanton.
Step aside, Herb. We have a little settling to do inside that door.
You also threaten to get me on sight. I'm waiting for you anytime, any place. But right now, I'm going to see that justice is done. You're not taking Johnny, and you're not going to be the judge, Clanton. And don't move a step. I meant what I said.
I don't like you, Herb. The world's too small for the both of us.
Maybe you're right. We'll see about it. Right now, you're going to call off your boys.
I don't take any guff from you.
That's our fight. We'll settle it in time. Now, I'm going back in. I'm turning my back on you. And you're too yellow to shoot, Clanton. I've dealt with your kind before.
Herb?
Yes, Clanton?
Be out of town before the sun sets.
He's hurt bad.
Take it easy, lady. I'll take charge.
He's dead, Sheriff. And so are the two guards.
I saw it. I can identify the killer.
I chased him, but I couldn't catch him.
Who was it?
Well, there were two of them. The only one I recognized was Doc Holliday.
You're a Clanton, aren't you, Ike?
Yes.
Your father's old man, Clanton.
That's right.
Well, I don't believe you. Doc Holliday's out somewhere with my brother Morgan.
I believe Ike. He's an eyewitness. And he said Doc was with another man. That could be your brother.
Why not? Except these two guards were shot in the back. That's not one of Doc's habits.
There's no law says I have to believe you. I'm arresting Doc and charging him with murder. That is, if he ever gets to trial. And how do I know, Earp, that you're not part of this hold-up deal?
If you think so, Sheriff, just try arresting me.
That'll keep. I'm going out to get Doc Holliday.
I think it'd be better if I did it. It'd be a lot safer for your hide.
Yeah, Sheriff. Maybe you better do like he says. I'll take you where the coach was held up. You can trail him from there.
Let's get going, Ike.
I was coming east around this bend when I heard the shooting. Over there are the trail marks. Looks like Holliday headed that way.
I thought you said you chased him. How come you only think he headed that way?
Are you trying to call me a liar?
Not trying. Calling. And when I prove it, you're going to eat the sand right off this desert.
I don't like what you're saying. I don't like you. Maybe before I'm through with you, sand will be too good for you.
Reach up!
Yeah, come on, get him up there.
You see what I mean? Get off your horse!
Take his guns, Ike.
There's nothing I'd like better. Start eating sand. Chew it!
Get away from him, Ike. Herb, I told you to get out of town. You didn't listen.
You figured to ambush me, Clanton. When do you want me to turn my back?
I'm in no hurry.
It wasn't hard to tell who killed the Wells Fargo boys. They got it in the back. At least, Clanton, they didn't have to look at your ugly face.
Shooting's too good for Big Mouth.
Ike, you talk too much for a fighting man.
Shut up!
Let's see. There's five of you here now. How are you going to split the Wells Fargo money?
I'll do the dividing, Herb.
You better double-check it, boys. Clanton's a hog. He'll pay off short.
Start walking, Herb. You're going to get it at the count of five. One. Two. Three. Oh.
Drop the guns, boys.
Doc Holliday.
You don't have a thing to worry about, Wyatt. The Clantons are too ignorant to count to five. Your brother Morgan's on the other side, just in case anyone has any ideas about starting trouble.
And how'd you know I was here, Doc?
I heard about it in town. Ike, you said I shot men in the back. I don't hold still for that.
Now just give me a gun.
Sure. Here's my gun. I'll use my fist.
Quit that, Doc. Ike, you and your father and the rest of the scum are going back to town. And Ike, you're going to do some talking. You're going to tell me in front of Sheriff Bean how the Wells Fargo boys were murdered. and who did it. You witnessed Ike Clanton's confession, Sheriff. I'd like you to affix your signature right below his. That'll make it legal.
I'm not signing anything.
Can't say that I blame you. Wouldn't sound good if Ike opened up on you.
Ike's got nothing on me. Neither of you.
I didn't say I had. Well, Ike will get his chance to repeat his story in court, and so will his old man. Come on, we'll go over to the jail and pay them our respects.
I'm afraid you're going to be very disappointed.
What do you mean?
The Clantons and the other boys broke jail, and they're waiting for you down in the OK Corral. They're laying to kill you. What are you going to do about it?
I'm going to throw them back into the calaboose, dead or alive.
I'm coming along with you, Wyatt.
Sure, Morgan.
Where you going, Wyatt?
Down to the OK Corral to make a fight, Doc.
About time. I'll go along.
This is our fight. There's no call for you to mix in.
That's a fine thing to say to me. I didn't figure you'd go without me.
I know, Doc, but this will be a tough one.
Tough ones are the kind I like.
All right, you asked for it.
Corral's up ahead. How do we go in?
Fan out. We're too good a target together.
Yeah. Know something, Wyatt?
Yes, Morgan.
All my life, I've wondered, when you're about to die, do you see a vision of heaven?
There's no time to be thinking of heaven. I wouldn't be worrying about it, Morgan, until that time comes. Now, fan out.
It's all right, boys. Everything's all right, Wyatt. I've disarmed them.
Well, thanks for the favor, Sheriff. Morgan, Doc, spread out more. Clanton, Ike, the rest of you, you men are under arrest. Throw up your hands.
Come and get us.
If that's the way you want it, I'm coming in.
I'm waiting.
So am I, Irv.
I'll take you too, Ike.
Look out, Wyatt, they're on.
Careful, Morgan, we're getting it from all sides. Where are you, Doc?
Right here, still in one piece.
Earp, I'm still waiting for you.
No!
You still haven't got me, Earp. Get out where I can get a bead on you.
No!
Wyatt, Ike's running away. He's getting out. Get him, Wyatt!
You can't, Morgan. He threw his gun away. I can't shoot an unarmed man.
The old man, Wyatt, he's behind.
Well, I guess that's it.
Why'd you let Ike get away? It only means he'll round for some more of their boys and start some more trouble.
I'm sorry, but that's the way it had to be.
Wyatt, I'm arresting you.
For what?
For murder.
You, Bean, arrest me? You tried your best to get us killed. If anyone ought to be arrested for murder, it's you. You won't take me in, Sheriff, but I'll be where any respectable person can arrest me anytime he wants to. But don't you or any of your cheap errand boys try it.
On the day after the fight at the OK Corral, the bodies of old man Clanton and his boys were dressed in the finest of store clothes, placed in ornate caskets, and put on public view. Above the bodies was displayed a huge placard which read, "Murdered in the streets of Tombstone by Wyatt Earp." Meantime, Wyatt Earp surrendered to a federal judge on a charge of murder. And the day of his trial brought forth milling crowds of the outlaw faction, determined to take the law into their own hands should the judge render a verdict in favor of Wyatt Earp.
I, Clanton, swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth to help you, God.
I do. Your Honor, Wyatt Earp murdered my father in cold blood. My father was unarmed when he was attacked and couldn't defend himself, and so was I. I couldn't protect him, or I'd have shut Earp down like the dirty dog he is.
Sheriff Bean, swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do. I warned Wyatt Earp, Your Honor, that the boys in the OK Corral were unarmed. Earp told me to forget what I'd see. He'd make it up to me later. He explained he had a personal grudge against old man Clanton and planning getting him where there was no chance he'd get hurt himself. All I can say is that I witnessed the coldest-blooded and most unwarranted killing I've ever seen in my life.
Wyatt Earp, swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth to help you, God?
I do. I won't refute the testimony of Sheriff Bean or I. Clanton. I believe their lies speak for themselves. What's more important to me is that men of the stripe of Sheriff Bean and Ike Clanton can remain free to accuse any innocent man of a crime. Swear to it and hope and pray that they can make it stick. I sincerely wish that Sheriff Bean had been alongside his friends who shot it out with us in the OK Corral. If he had been, Tombstone would now be a decent place to live in.
I cannot resist the conclusion that the defendant, Wyatt Earp, was fully justified in committing these homicides. It is the decision of this court that Wyatt Earp is not guilty, and the charge against him is dismissed.
I've been looking all over town for you.
What's the excitement, Doc?
Ike Clanton's brought in Indian Charlie, John Ringo, and Hank Swilling.
You couldn't have picked a finer crew of bushwhackers.
Yeah, but they're here in town looking for you.
Won't take them along to find me. Where's Morgan?
Across the street, shooting pool.
Well, come on, we'll get him, and then we'll get ready for Ike and his friends.
Better keep in the shadows. No sense making targets of ourselves.
Doc, I know you're my friend, and I'm beginning to think you have brains. Let's make a run for it. Time you went to bed, isn't it?
You trying to baby me?
Of course not. You're still pretty weak from that wound, and you look tired.
Oh, it's too early to go home.
Nothing much doing here. Come on, Doc, and you and I go home and do a little talking.
No reason why we can't talk here. What's the matter, Wyatt? Don't you think I know about the gang Ike Clanton brought to town? You know, I'm a grown-up man now.
Come on, Morgan. It's time for bed.
Wyatt, we Earps weren't reared to run away from nobody.
No, were we reared to die unnecessarily. Make this your last shot, boy.
I'm going to show you the fanciest shot you've ever seen. I'm going to play a three-ball combination, which will ease the five-ball gently into the side pocket. I'm hit. Did they get you, Wyatt? Are you all right?
I'm fine, boy. Take it easy now. Is that better?
Put my legs straight.
They are straight, Morgan.
Must be my back's broken. Looks like I've run out my string, Wyatt. It won't be long now, will it?
Don't talk that way, Morgan. You'll be on your feet in no time.
Sure. We know who did it, don't we?
And we'll get them, you and I. You'll give the orders. Morgan, I'll follow you anywhere.
Bend down close to me.
Sure, boy. Sure.
Ever since I was a kid, I always asked you, when you're about to die, do you see a vision of heaven? Wyatt, I don't see a thing.
Morgan. Morgan.
So long, Wyatt. Take care of yourself.
There's nothing more you can do for him, Wyatt.
All my life, Doc, I've respected the law. He'd be alive right now if I hadn't. That bullet was meant for me, not for him. It's a pretty high price to ask a man to pay for trying to shoot square. I know who killed Morgan, and I'm going after him. I hope they'll be fools enough to resist arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Ringo.
One for Morgan.
You're under arrest, Twilling.
Watch it, Wyatt. He's going for his gun.
Two for Morgan. Hello, Ike.
What do you want?
Earth? You. Huh? I figured I'd find you here in the sheriff's office. I'm arresting you, Ike, for ambushing and killing my brother.
No, I had nothing to do with it. I can prove it.
Well, you're going to get the swear for you, Sheriff Bean.
No. All right, I'm your prisoner, Earp. I'm leaving with you any time you're ready.
What makes you so agreeable, Ike?
Well, my lawyers are waiting outside. You didn't think you'd outsmart me, did you?
I could shoot you right in your tracks, couldn't I, Ike?
You wouldn't do that, would you? You're law abiding.
There's no law that says you can't shoot a skunk. You killed my brother, remember? I wouldn't worry too much about that lawyer of yours. Doc Holliday took him for a little walk before I came in. Come on, get going.
I'm not going anywhere with you. If I had a gun with me, you'd never leave this room.
That can be fixed. When I say one, you can make your fight. I won't go for my gun until I've counted three. Here's your gun, Ike. One, two, three. Three for Morgan.
What's going on in here?
Ike.
Don't try arresting me for murder again, Sheriff. I warn you.
Don't worry, I won't. I don't feel sorry for Ike Clanton.
I don't expect you would. You're a greedy man. First you wanted power. The Clantons gave you that when they made you sheriff. Then you wanted riches. The Clantons gave you that when they cut you in on the Wells Fargo holdup. But that wasn't good enough for you. Part of the money wasn't enough. Now that Ike's dead, it's all yours. You're a rich man. $80,000 worth. But you'll never enjoy it.
We're talking mighty big.
That $80,000, Sheriff, is in your safe.
That's a lie.
Care to open it?
What's in my safe is my own business.
I'll describe what's inside. There are two bundles. One marked with your name, the other with Ike Clanton's. Each has $40,000 in it. Doc Holliday opened your safe for me. Legally, of course. I had a court order.
And $200 a month pay isn't a lot of money, is it, Irv?
Not exactly.
You can take the bundle marked Ike Clanton. $40,000 is a lot of money.
You think you can buy back the life of my brother Morgan and all the people in this town that have died because of you? No, Bean, you're going to pay. But first you're going to get what you don't deserve. A fair trial. I'm glad for you, Doc. I'm glad that you're staying on here in Tombstone.
Well, I'm getting tired of kicking around, Wyatt. Man needs roots. Place he can call home. How about you?
Me? Nothing I'd like better, but not just yet. I'm going west. California.
Well, folks around here are mighty grateful for all you've done. Whole town's yours for the asking.
That sounds mighty inviting, but I can't stay.
Well, a man's got a right to make up his own mind.
Someday I'll be back, Doc. Someday when it won't be necessary to keep the peace with a gun. When folks will get together and talk their troubles out instead of shooting them up. The West is still young. I guess it's having growing pains. Give it time. Give it time and it'll get there.
Men like you around, it has a mighty good chance.
So long, Doc. I'll be seeing you.
So long, Wyatt. Wyatt.
Yes, Doc.
Wyatt, take care of yourself.
Here again is James Hilton.
A stirring story and a great performance. Thank you, Mr. Conte. You know, the story of a man like Wyatt Earp is a living inspiration to all of us who live in America today and cherish the highest of its traditions.
I agree with you, Mr. Hilton. And I'd like to add how much I feel it an honor to have been here on the Hallmark Playhouse. Traditions are wonderful things. They can serve as both inspiration and guidance in so many of the daily things we do. But of course, you here at Hallmark know that.
Thank you, Mr. Conte, for your tribute. We appreciate it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I invite you to join us next week when we present a dramatization of Irving Stone's fine story, Immortal Wife, starring that famous Hollywood actress, Loretta Young, whose present reign as an Academy Award winner will give way in a few hours to some other distinguished actress, who we don't know, but Miss Young is probably just as excited about it as we are. And in following weeks, we will present Betty Smith's well-known story, A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, starring that wonderful little girl, Margaret O'Brien, and Zoe Akin's Morning Glory, starring one of Hollywood's youngest and brightest stars, Elizabeth Taylor. Our Hallmark Playhouse is every Thursday. Our director-producer is Lee Engelbach. Our music is composed and conducted by Lynn Murray. And our story tonight was adapted by Jack Rubin. Until next Thursday, then, this is James Hilton saying good night.
Richard Conte appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox, producers of Down to the Sea and Ships, starring Richard Widmark and Lionel Barrymore.
The Hallmark Playhouse on Tuned to Yesterday from March 24, 1949 on CBS. The show's star, Richard Conte, was known best on the silver screen in his appearances in film noir. Though proving very versatile in the previous broadcast, in the same year of that show, he was starring in no less than four motion pictures, notably alongside Susan Hayward and Edward G. Robinson and House of Strangers. It's an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now we bring you The Frontier Gentleman with John Daner, starring as reporter J.B. Kendall. The CBS episode first heard on March 9, 1950. The story, Claim Jumpers.
In the mining country of Montana Territory, it seems that it's one thing to find gold and another to claim it as your own.
Frontier Gentleman. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual stories. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
I've been traveling along the Mullenwagon Road in Montana Territory, and I was looking forward to reaching Helena before dark when my horse began to go lame. And I realized I faced the prospect of camping out for still another night. I had just rounded a bend in the trail when I saw the small figure plodding along on foot ahead of me. He carried a pack on his back, and as I drew nearer, I saw that he was no more than a boy, 17 or 18.
Hi.
Hello.
Going into Helena?
Yes, but I don't think I'll get there tonight. Horse has gone lame.
Oh. Yeah, right foreleg, huh?
Yes. He slipped off a rut a mile or so further back.
Too bad. Thought I might get a ride with you. There's been many wagons along today.
No. How far have you walked?
Mostly from Fort Benton. Got a couple of rides day four yesterday. See? You don't happen to have any food on you? I ain't got much, but I could pay a dollar or two, I guess.
Oh, I've enough for the two of us. You better save your money.
Oh, that's mighty nice of you.
Keep your eyes open for a decent bit of ground, and we'll make a camp. About half a mile beyond, we found a somewhat sheltered spot a little way off the trail. The youngster, his name was Bill Richmond, gathered wood, and I prepared the food. It was almost dark by the time we had finished.
Well, that was as fine a meal as I've ever eaten, Mr. Kendall.
And I'm glad you enjoyed it, Bill. Did you smoke?
No, sir. I haven't found a taste for it yet.
Well, you've got time. Take my advice. When you do, use a pipe.
Yes, sir.
Where'd you come from?
Kentucky.
A long way.
Yeah, I run away from home. It wasn't much of a place. I figured I was old enough.
And you came out here for gold?
That's right. Hey, you make any strikes, Mr. Kendall?
No. I'm not a prospector. How did you get to Fort Benton, Bill?
I'll work my way up one of them river boats. I sure learned plenty about gold mining from some of them fellas. You know, this says there's places in this country where you can pick the gold right off the ground.
I imagine the trick is to find those places.
Oh, I will. Of course, I don't mind digging some if I have to.
I wish you luck. Hello. Sounds though we have visitors.
How are you? Me and my pals. Saw the light of your fire off of the trail. You mind company?
No, not at all.
My name's Jack Hinton. This is Rod Goodall.
Howdy.
And him with the long face there, that's Dauncey Abbott.
How are you?
J.B. Kendall. The nipper is Bill Richmond.
Howdy.
I'd offer you some food, but I'm afraid we used the last...
Oh, that's all right. We got our own grub.
But how's the firewood?
Enough, I think.
Dauncey, your turn for the grub. Get going.
Nothing I hate worse than...
He hates cooking like thunder, but he sure knows how to make a son of a gun stew. Oh, now that fire sure does feel good.
You and the kid have any luck? Find any traces around here?
And as a matter of fact, Mr. Goodall, I haven't been looking. I'm on my way to Helena. No, Bill is the prospector.
Oh, that's so?
Boy, if we just camping down for the night, I aim to try my luck west of Helena.
So, huh? Well, now, boy, how come you wait until you get there?
Well, I heard tell of big strikes. That's how come, mister.
Oh, now, you listen to me, boy. There ain't no sense going everybody else goes. But for all you know, you're sitting on a bonanza right now.
Oh, you're joshing me.
No, I ain't. Here, Rod, ain't that the truth?
It could be.
Why, sure it could. Now, listen, I heard stranger happened.
Oh, they're pulling your leg, Bill.
No, sir, no such of a thing, mister. Now, listen here. Me and the boys, we was working Deer Lodge country a year. Dauncey, you remember?
I remember.
Why, sure. Now, a couple of fellers right in the next camp to us. They got into a shoot-up. Next thing you know, one of them bites the dust. Other fella, he starts out to bury the poor son of a gun. He digs a grave right there in the camp, and what do you think?
Yeah?
Pay dirt. Lousy with gold.
Oh.
Mr. Hinton, you'd take first prize with that one. In a minute, you'd have me believe in you.
Oh, but that's the truth, though. Oh, we've seen stranger things than that.
And that's a fact.
It was a pleasant way to pass the night. Three prospectors, hard-bitten, rough men, spinning one tale after another. They'd never find a better audience than Bill Richmond, and they knew it. I could see him absorbing every word. It wasn't until the fire was getting low that we finally turned in. At first, I thought I heard the shouting in my dreams. And then I knew that I was awake, and it was beginning to grow light in the east.
I'm rich. I made it.
What are you talking about, Bill?
Just like they said here. I found it.
Found what?
The gold.
Gold?
Boy, what's gold? What?
Look, Mr. Hinton, sir. What? Look here, gold.
Gold?
All night I thought about what you told me, you know? All them stores. I didn't even sleep for it. And this morning here, I got up and I walked up the gulch, and I found this.
Now, let me see that. Iron pyrites, I'll bet you.
May I see?
Ain't it gold, Mr. Kendall? It is. The fellas on the boat, they told me what to look for.
Iron pyrites, I tell
you. Dauncey, fetch me the hammer.
I got more in my pockets. Look at this
one. Boy, will you shut your mouth a minute?
Where'd you find it? surface?
No, kind of sticking out of a rock in a gully. I can show you. Well, I'm sure obliged to you, Mr. Hinton.
Here's the hammer.
If you want my opinion, you're wasting your time. That's gold.
Sure it is, Mr. Kendall.
It don't break. It's soft. Ain't no alloy in it, neither. No silver or copper. Look at the color. Pure gold.
Show us where you found it, boy.
We followed Bill into a gulch which began no more than 100 yards from the campfire. He turned into a shallow gully and stopped. I could see where he had cut into the rocky bank with his pocket knife. And I could see something else, too, in the faces of the men who stood over him, the guarded tones of voice.
Bill? Bill, I would say that you've hit it. That's a fact.
Ain't no question in my mind. No telling how far that vein goes.
Say, don't think I'll forget you fellas, because I won't. I'm going to make a fine present to all of you.
Well, that's mighty thoughtful, boy. Mighty thoughtful.
I imagine one stakes out a claim now. Isn't that so, Mr. Hinton? Mm-hmm. Then register it in Helena?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sure is, Kendall. That's the thing to do. Yeah. Bill? Bill, I don't guess you'd mind if me and the boys take a look on up the gully a ways, would you? It should be plenty for all of us.
Oh, no, sir. You go right ahead. I ain't no hog now. I got all I need right here.
Good, good. Then we'll help you then make out the claim, all proper and legal.
Well, that's fine.
All right, let's go, boys.
Kendall, you coming?
In just a moment.
Mr. Kendall, listen. I owe you plenty for picking me up, sharing your food with me and all. I'm cutting you in for a share of this.
Oh, no. It's yours. If there's more here, I'll stake my own claim.
No, you don't have to. Now, this here must be worth hundreds and thousands.
Listen to me, Bill. The most important thing is for you to register that claim. Get title to it. You understand?
Oh, sure.
All right. Have you got a gun?
No, I ain't got no gun.
Well, you know how to use one.
Well, I guess so, but...
I'd take it, just in case of accidents. I'm going with the others now. If any more strangers come, don't tell them what you found.
All right, Mr. Kendall.
You better go back to camp now. Wait for me there.
Sure, if you say so.
I stayed with the three prospectors almost the whole day. We found traces, all right, low-grade ore, but nothing really worth working. It was late afternoon when we retraced our steps to the camp. On the way, we passed through the gully and the site of Bill's claim. The sun had already fallen behind the mountains to the west, and there was a chill in the air.
Can't just figure it. Just the one vein.
Possibly it's a question of digging. Seems to be a number of gullies running off.
We looked around these parts a couple of years back. Remember, Rod?
That's right. I'd swear what the kid found's a freak. Might not go more than a foot or two and then peter out. No, don't look that way to me. I'd say she'd show better than... Oh, $2,000 a ton.
Hmm. Lucky boy.
Yeah, ain't he, though. Say, Kendall, you and the boy, you partners or something?
Oh, no.
Oh.
I met him yesterday for the first time.
Oh?
Man can search a lifetime, not find anything like that.
Yeah. Kind of crazy, ain't it? We tell him stories, and he takes us up on it and finds this. Think that'd be worth a share in the claim, wouldn't you?
He sure shooting wouldn't have come looking if we hadn't given him the idea.
Sure. What do you think, Kendall?
Well, I think, gentlemen, that this is Bill Richmond's claim, and we better get it staked out for him before dark.
The way you see it, huh?
Exactly that way.
Yeah. Well, might as well get on back to camp.
Well, don't you think it'd be a good idea to help the boy to stake out his claim before nightfall?
Oh, I don't know, Kendall. I'm kind of tired right now. How about you fellas?
I sure had enough for one day.
Oh, that vein's been there a long time. Guess you won't be moving tonight. Kendall, you know how to stake out a claim.
Unfortunately, no.
Oh.
I guess it can wait. Do something about it in the morning, huh? Because right now, I sure could use some grub.
In the camp now, there was a very different atmosphere. Sullen, I think is the best word for it. A subtle hostility had settled like a gray mist. I saw the men huddled together as Bill and I prepared the campfire, and I had a pretty good idea of what they were talking about.
Oh, she's going fine now, Mr.
Now,
Kendall.
Listen to me, Bill. I think we may be in for a bit of trouble, and no matter what happens, keep your head.
How come?
No time to explain now, you'll see. Just don't lose your temper.
Bill.
Yeah, Mr. Hinton?
Bill, me and the boys been talking. Now, we figure while it's still light, you ought to get that claim staked out all regular.
Oh, yeah, that's fine with me.
Now, of course, doing you a service like that, seeing how you nor Kendall know about such things, we reckon it ought to be worth something to you.
Well, that's all right. I don't want something for nothing.
There, see? See what I tell you, boy? He's a good kid. You was right.
Do you think such services are worth, Mr. Hinton?
Even shares all around? Cut you in two, of course, Mr.
Even Kendall. Shares?
Just a moment, Bill. Pretty expensive, isn't it? I imagine a lawyer wouldn't charge that much.
Ain't no lawyers around here, is there, Jack?
No, sir. Now, Bill, it's kind of like protecting your rights, you see? Because if anything happened and you didn't get to get your claim registered, why, the next feller comes along, the whole thing belonged to him, you see?
Rather awkward situation, isn't it?
It sure is.
We're taking the gamble as much as you, kid. Why, heck, that vein might not be worth nothing a foot down.
I was under the impression you thought it would work out to about $2,000 a ton.
Now, look, mister, we're doing business with the boy, not with you.
I'm representing his interests. That right, Bill?
Yes, sir.
Since when?
About the same time as you decided to help him register his claim, Mr. Goodall.
Well, what's your deal with the kid?
We have a gentleman's agreement.
Pretty smart. And you come in for half.
Presuming that I did. That still leaves him half, which is a lot better than a fifth share. As it happens, I have no intentions of doing so.
You believe this dude, kid?
Yeah, I believe him.
Well, we ain't getting nowheres. Dauncey might as well get going on the grub.
I did it last night.
Well, do it again.
It ain't my turn.
Come over here. You too, Rod.
Have you got the gun on you, Bill?
Yeah, stuck in my belt here.
And keep your jacket buttoned. Don't let them see it.
You figure they're going to take my gold away from me, Mr. Kendall?
I think they'll make a good try.
Well, I ain't going to let them.
Keep your voice down.
I'm sorry, sir. That sure gets me mad, though. I heard about claim jumpers, but I never expected to run into them this quick.
The price of fame and fortune.
Well, they're going to have to kill me to get mine.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. The conference is over.
All right, me and the boys got an offer to make.
Happy to listen to any offer.
You and the kid take 50%, we take 50%.
I'll make you a counteroffer. You take nothing, I take nothing, Bill takes all.
You see, I told you.
Now look, mister, you ain't in no position to make an offer. Till that claim gets registered, it don't belong to no one. Now, if me and the boys decide to stake it out for ourselves, what are you going to do about it?
I imagine there'd be some shooting, don't you?
You only got one gun. We got three.
Would you like to draw first?
No, ain't no use that kind of talk. Now, nobody's talking about a shoot-up. We just want what's rightfully ours. We told the kid where to look. That makes us equal partners.
I don't think so.
Oh, no, sir.
If the kid rides in to get someone out to stake that claim for him, you know we got a right to take over while he's gone.
If I let you.
It ain't your strike.
He'll give me power of attorney in writing.
You bet I will.
What's he talking about? Are you a lawyer?
No.
Of course, maybe you'll ride to Helena. Leave him here.
Very doubtful.
All right, now see how it is then? We got all the grub. You got none. We can just sit it out and wait.
By and by, he'll get so hungry, he'll sell us the whole thing for some eats.
And did you ever stop to consider that the wagon trail is not very far away? All Bill has to do is to wait for someone to come along. I wouldn't be surprised if there were one or two honest men who would give him a hand staking his claim. I'd be happy to stay here while he's gone.
All right, Kendall, all right. All right, you win. I guess we know when we're licked. Huh? Boys, we'll pull out.
How come?
Shut your mouth, Dauncey. Say, we'll pull out. Kendall is right. Kid found it. It's his claim. And just to show you, Mr. Kendall, that there's no hard feelings, we'll leave you some of our grub. How's that?
Extremely kind.
Well, I'll pay for it, Hinton. What do you figure
it's worth? Oh, no, kid. It's a present to you. To make up for what we tried to do to you.
Sort of a conscience salve, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Well, come on, boys. Let's get moving.
I didn't have the heart to laugh at Hinton's clumsy attempt to put us off guard. They packed their belongings and within 10 minutes were riding off down toward the Mullen Road. At the same time, I had no illusions about our somewhat uncomfortable position.
You figure they'll come back?
I think there's no doubt of it.
I'm sure glad I got this here gun, then.
I hope you don't have to use it.
You all want me to get started on the grub?
Yes, you might as well.
Sure is something. What happens to fellas when they get a sight of gold, ain't it?
History has a way of repeating itself, Bill. I went through something like this only a week ago in Fort Benton.
You know what I'm going to do if that stock's really worth something? I'm going to sell out. You know, I'm going back to Kentucky. I'm going to fix things up just fine for my mom and pa and the kids.
Brothers and sisters?
Oh, yeah, a whole slew of them. 8. That's one of the reasons I took off.
Well, the immediate problem seems to be our friends. If I send you to Helena now, they might be waiting for you. On the other hand, if I go, they could come back here.
I'm feared either way.
No doubt. But your claim won't be worth much to you if you're not alive to enjoy it.
Mr. Kendall?
Hmm?
What are you doing in Montana?
Oh, nothing much, really, Bill. I think the word is drifting. I drift about. Do a little writing for a newspaper in London.
London, England?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know something? I never did learn reading and writing. That's something else I'm going to do when I get back.
It's a good idea. But we'd better make preparations to make sure you do go back. As far as I could determine, their most likely line of approach would be up a shallow draw. We packed everything we could find under our blankets to make it appear we were asleep in the clearing. An hour passed. The moon rose.
Mr. Kendall.
Yes. Yes, I heard it. Take out your gun, but don't shoot unless I tell you to.
All right, sir.
And keep down behind the brush.
Now, boys, get him ready.
Well, that should ought to have done it, boys.
No.
Huh?
Wait a minute. It ain't them under the blankets.
It ain't.
Just a lot.
Drop your guns, gentlemen. Stand just where you are.
We was just coming back to see you was all right.
Your thoughtfulness shatters me.
I told you it wouldn't work.
Pick up their guns, Bill.
Sir.
Now, gentlemen, we'll wait until it's light enough. Then you are going to stake out a claim. It'll be in the name of William Richmond. Are there any objections? Good. All right, make yourselves comfortable. And then while we're waiting, perhaps you'd like to tell us some more stories. The next morning, bright and early, Bill's claim was properly marked off, and to doubly ensure that there would be no more dirt work, our dishonest friends were led, well trussed, into the sheriff's office at Helena. Bill's strike didn't make him a great fortune. but it was enough to take him home a richer man than he came out. I allowed him, under the circumstances, to reward me, and he did, very fairly. $1,000.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Eddie Firestone, Larry Dobkin, Jack Moyles, and Vic Perrin. Music was composed and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Right after the Ford Roadshow, which follows immediately on most of these same stations, stay tuned for the New York Philharmonic concert performance of Electra. And join us again next week for another report from the Frontier Gentlemen. John Wall speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The Frontier Gentleman, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 9th, 1950 on CBS. And that brings to a close this hour of Radio Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. It's been a pleasure.